And now it's over to my friend, film critic Peter Malone, who heads the film office at CIGNUS, the World Catholic Association for Communication. Today he talks about a work first screened in 1985 by the BBC as a six-part television series. It was directed by Martin Campbell, who has now returned to the script, adapted for the big screen.
Hi, Dad. I'm going to come home for a few days. I love you.
The Edge of Darkness and Mel Gibson. What are we to say?
He looks just like his old self, I must say. Although, as you notice, his face is much more lived in than it was.
He just turned 54 this last month, so he's not as young as he used to be, and he's not Mad Max anymore. But I hadn't realised, but somebody noted that he hadn't been starring in a film since 2002.
Although he's been directing, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he directed The Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto, so yes, he hasn't been inactive, but I should, I suppose, put a kind of editorial parenthesis that he seems to have been making a mess of his life in real life, which is, you know, is a terrible thing, and I don't know where he goes from here. But anyhow, he's back in front of the camera in Edge of Darkness.
An interesting, very convoluted plot in this story, it seems to me.
Yes, although one of the other reviewers challenged me whether I'd understood the plot completely, and I thought there was at a stage where, yes, I did, but you have to work on it. Apparently, in the original BBC series, which I've never seen, which I would have liked to have seen, you have 6 hours, so plenty of time to develop characters and plot. Here you have just under 2 hours, so a bit convoluted, but it's one of those conspiracy theory films, so you have to expect it.
Tell us a little bit about the story, just as, well, you know, as little as we need to know.
All right. Well, Mel's, he's a Boston detective, much calmer than he is in the Lethal Weapon films,
just as
you'll
well.
Be glad to know.
Yes.
But almost at the beginning, his daughter is gunned down on the doorstep of their home. And it's presumed that he's the target because of his work as a policeman.
There are still a lot of unanswered questions, but it appears Detective Thomas Craven was the intended target.
And it gradually emerges, although enough clues are given before the murder. We've listened to the daughter speaking to her father, and we know that she is the target.
Mr. Craven, we have things to talk about.
Like your name and what you're doing here.
Like who shot your daughter.
And so he then goes on a quest to try to understand what happens, where she worked at a nuclear plant.
You want to know what my daughter did here?
What she did was classified.
Emma Charlotte Craven was flagged as a possible threat to the United States of America.
Which contributes to the economy of Massachusetts, as the senator and the manager all keep telling us. But there are various dark things lurking in the background, and a huge conspiracy, so I'd perhaps better leave it at there, and people who enjoy that kind of thing will be interested to follow it through.
I'm the guy with nothing to lose. Fasten your seatbelt.
I get the feeling you enjoyed it.
I did. I like that kind of film. I suppose if I were to be given an option between conspiracy and comedy, I'd tend to choose the conspiracy. I'd have to say that it looks very interesting, and the plant looks marvellous. It's, I'd say, recreated in the computer graphics, but a wonderful view out over Massachusetts. And Danny Houston is the suave and smooth manager of the whole plant, who we guess will be the villain, and of course he is.
Cases like these are never solved. You just never can connect A to B.
How do you know that?
Because I'm usually the guy that stops you connecting A to B.
So there's ultimately a lot of confrontations and some developments that we don't expect, so that keeps the interest there.
Well, you had better decide whether you're hanging on the cross or banging in the nails.